Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter this week. When you get there, check it out, and we'll send you the newsletter by email. Comes every week. You'll get one fairly quickly when you subscribe, and then after that they come on Sunday afternoon to get you ready for the week ahead. Stephen Moore, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest and a longtime friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. We've known him since way back in the 90s. He's the president of the Club for Growth. Many of you will see him on television and in some of the many of the news channels being interviewed on politics. He's a contributor to the magazine The National Review, as well as he has an outstanding article in the August-September edition of the American Spectator, which I really enjoyed reading, and he's our friend. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Pleasure.
And by the way, folks, in the interest of full disclosure, Stephen's sole purpose in life is to get more Republicans elected. Would that be an overstatement, Stephen?
Well, the right kinds of Republicans
okay.
who want to advance an agenda that's going to help small businesses by getting rid of regulations, by cutting taxes, by promoting trade, and policies like that will remove the obstacles to economic growth and to business profitability.
So it's not enough. It's not enough that you're a Republican in Stephen's eyes.
I guess it's 7 hour next to your name. A lot of the Republicans in Congress are as bad as the Ted Kennedys of the world. So
that's the unkindest cut of all.
That might be a slight exaggeration, but, you know, you have people like Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania who is very much an opponent of small business and votes with the Democrats on a lot of stuff.
Lincoln Chafee.
Discriminating.
Don't forget Lincoln Chafee.
Barely a Republican.
yeah, just barely. Let's talk about, I want to talk about a little politics here, and let's talk about a couple of current events that's just happened. One's just happened and one's about to happen. The one that's just happened is a new presidential candidate on the Democrat side, and what's about to happen, which we'll get to in a little bit, is what the president's going to do later today. Let's talk about Wesley Clark, four-star general, former NATO head who got fired in that job, Wesley Clark, talking head during the Iraqi war on CNN primarily, I guess totally on CNN, has now announced that he is the candidate for president in 2004 on the Democrat ticket, and if you believe the polls, Mr. Bush and all the other Democrats don't have a chance next year.
Well, this is somewhat good news for Democrats to have Wes Clark in this race because it does give the Democratic Party some foreign policy credentials. Most of these Democrats who are running out of the, I guess there are 10 now, most of them know nothing about foreign policy, nothing about national security, and so having someone like Wes Clark in the race at least gives the party some credentials when it comes to fighting the war on terrorism.
But they're not going to be able to amalgamate those guys and come up with one candidate. I mean, they can only do one, Stephen.
That's right.
That's not good for the other ten.
The other problem is that Wes Clark has been a real dove on national security issues lately. He's been a severe critic of the president's anti-terrorism policies, especially with Iraq. And these are policies that have been very successful and have helped win the war on terrorism. So I think that Wes Clark would have a lot of explaining to do if he won the Democratic nomination.
Well, what blows me away, here's what I want you to answer, is the fact that Wesley Clark has announced and immediately had a 43% approval rating compared to Mr. Bush's, say, 47 in the same Newsweek poll. He's just announced. We know virtually nothing about what his ideas are, let alone what his performance would be. And
he's
never been a politician in his life. He's never managed anything except, of course, he was a four-star general, which is no mean feat, by the way. And so, but the thing is he's automatically got this immediate cachet. Does that say more about the polling or about the people who were polled? What does that say?
Well, the fact that he is not a politician and has never really run for office before, I think, is an attraction, actually, not a subtraction, because, you know, one of our problems with politics today is you just get these careerist politicians who just keep running for the next office ahead of them.
Members of the political class.
There you go. And, you know, this careerist politician is something I think people are sick of, and it's sort of refreshing to see somebody like a four-star general run for president. And don't forget, by the way, that, you know, throughout our history, many Army and Navy generals have run for office. I mean, Dwight Eisenhower and Ulysses Grant. And
don't forget the father of our country.
Thank you, George Washington. So,
Mr.
you know,
Washington.
That's that makes it interesting. I just think that
Hold on to that thought, Steve. Let's come right back to this after these messages. It's 20 till. Stephen Moore is our guest. He's president of the Club for Growth. Stay with us. We're back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stephen Moore is our guest. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Helen Morley's going to join us. We're going to talk about fashion. Stephen, you know what a fashion plate I am, so this is going to be a lot of fun. You weren't supposed to laugh quite that loud, Stephen.
Well, it's just that you still wear those bell-bottom pants.
I still have them, yeah. And of course, as you know, I like polka-dot shirts and striped pants at the same time, too. And the 3-inch wide white belt, too. You know, don't forget that. But anyway, we're going to talk about fashion in the next half hour and how fashion plays a role in small business. And then the half hour, after that, we'll be visiting with our friend Brian Tracy. Stephen Moore and I are talking about politics, and we're just talking about kind of the interesting issue that we've got now with Wesley Clark coming into the race. If you're one of the other nine candidates, this isn't good news, is it, that Wesley Clark's in the race?
Well, it's really hard to figure this Democratic field because it really is sort of the nine dwarves, that none of them are real heavyweights. And really the only heavyweight on the Democratic side of the aisle is, of course, her.
Uh-huh.
And I think you know who I mean by her.
Well, let's be fair, Senator Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York.
That's right, and Hillary is, you know, there's some rumblings that she may run.
It won't happen.
I had dinner a couple of nights ago with Jim Carville, who's been following the Clintons very closely over his career, and he doesn't think she's going to run this time, that she'll run in 2008.
There's no way she's going to run in 2004.
I think that's probably right. So that leaves, you know, this field with Howard Dean, who's a super liberal and has moved very much to the left to appeal to the angry left, and he's right now, I'd have to say, really pretty much the front runner. The others haven't really made much noise, and you've got some candidates who are, you know, I think just promoting themselves, people like Kucinich and Carol Mosley-Braun. But it'll be interesting, and I don't think any of them will really have much of a chance of beating President Bush. Bush is strong with conservatives. He's strong with respect to his fighting the war on terrorism. His tax cut, I think, has been effective at helping turn this economy around.
Well, and I think that what's going to happen, barring something that we don't know about, you know, the economy is going to be in good shape a year from now. Jobs are going to be the big detractor, perhaps. But by a year from now, you know, a couple of months before the election, the company should be hiring back by then.
And a lot of the
issue is going to be whether Iraq is settled down by then.
Well, that's a good point, and I wanted to make 2 points on that. First, on the jobs coming back, I'm really pretty confident about the economy. When Bush passed that capital gains and the dividends tax, which you and I talked about several months ago, you know, since then the stock market's been up about 15-16%. So
right. We're
starting to see a turnaround there. Now, on this Iraq thing, I wanted to make one point to you, Jim, and that is, I think that President Bush made a major, major mistake a couple of weeks ago when he talked about this $87 billion request for a supplemental appropriation bill for the rebuilding of Iraq.
Right.
And I believe, And by the way, that speech was very poorly received by the public. It was mm-hmm. his public approval rating.
It's gone down since then. Yep.
And the reason is that American people generally believe, and I believe that they're right about this, that the people who should be responsible for the paying for the building of Iraq are the Iraqi people themselves.
Right, and their own resources.
Exactly. This is a country that has the second most amount of oil of any country in the world.
Second only to Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia, exactly. And that they are sitting on over 100 billion barrels of oil. The discounted present value of that is probably nearly $1 trillion. So mm-hmm. why should American taxpayers have to shoulder the burden? When we were the ones who liberated them, they should not only pay for the rebuilding, I believe they should repay us for the liberation costs as well.
Right. No, there's no question about that. And I guess I always thought that all along that was going to be part of the plan.
It was part of the plan, and that was why President Bush sort of threw the American public a curveball when he mm-hmm. said, well, we need $87 billion more for rebuilding. And the Americans sort of scratched their head and said, wait a minute, I thought the Iraqis were going to pay for this themselves. So,
but are we not going to get that money back ultimately?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, last night I was finishing an article on this, so I'm glad you asked me about it. But the Russians, the Germans, and the French are owed about $100 to $150 billion from the old Saddam Hussein regime.
But now this is on products that the Iraqis wind up fighting us with.
Thank you. You're a step ahead of me on this, Jim.
I'm sorry. I'll shut
right.
up. I didn't mean to preempt you.
Right.
I just get excited about this.
You know where I'm going with this. Why should the that should be repudiated?
That's exactly right.
And they should not have the first claim on that Iraqi oil. We should, because we were the ones who liberated them. We were the ones who paid hundreds of billions of dollars and paid for it with our precious blood to liberate that country. When in fact, you're exactly right. The Germans, the French, and the Russians were actually profiteering.
We were
at the hands of Saddam.
Some of our people were injured and killed by those weapons.
Thank you. And so that, you know, you can tell I feel pretty passionately about this.
And you can tell I don't feel that way at all.
So I think it's just an outrage. And we ought to, you know, we've been trying to get the French and the Germans and the Russians now to help, participate in this peacekeeping now going on in Iraq. And they've been, you know, hemming and hawing. The way to force them to pay for it is just to repudiate their debt.
Right. Absolutely. No, they have no standing as far as I'm concerned. Now, when we come back, I'm going to ask Stephen if what Mr. Bush is doing today at the UN is a reaction to the reception of his request for $87 billion a couple of weeks ago. And he'll tell us that right after these messages. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Stephen Morse, company, his organization is the Club for Growth, and that's clubforgrowth.org. We're back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Stephen Moore, president of Club for Growth. And, folks, I encourage you to check out the website. Even if you're not a Republican, if you're a Democrat, you need to go find out what these guys are up to. And if you're a kind of Republican elected official, wherever you are in the country, and you're not acting like what Stephen thinks is a real Republican, and I kind of agree with him on that, then you might ought to go find out what they're up to, too. That's clubforgrowth.org. Stephen, the president is speaking to, in about 2 hours, he's going to be speaking to the United Nations General Assembly. Could this be the most important speech of his current to date in his administration?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I think it is an important speech. I think he's got to hit this one out of the park. He's got to convince, these other nations to start helping pay the cost of the reconstruction of Iraq. But
he has rules, doesn't he? He's got strings with this request too, doesn't he?
He does, and I think ultimately, whether or not the United Nations comes in after us is really irrelevant. I mean, we have the military strength to keep the peace and to put this new regime in power and restore civic order there. The real question is, ultimately, when these bills come due, who is going to pay for them?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think, you know, you're sitting on $1 trillion worth of oil. We should simply say that, you know, half of the profits of every barrel that's of petrodollars that they, the Iraqi people, realize in profits should be going into a fund that repays America for its cost of both the reconstruction and I think even the liberation invasion itself.
Well, and let's amortize it for them. Let's give them 10 or 20 years to do it.
Sure. And
you know what I mean?
That's probably going to be required, because the truth is that a lot of the pipelines and the fields themselves have been sabotaged, I think partly by Saddam himself on his way out. And my feeling, by the way, I'm pretty hardcore on this, as you can tell. I'd say to the French and the Germans and the Russians, you want to be repaid? You did business with Saddam. You go find him.
Yeah.
You go find him, and you extract that money that he owes
him. Make him write you a check.
There you go.
That's who the guy you did business with doesn't have a business anymore.
That's right. But he did actually walk off with a lot of assets. And,
right.
And you're right. I mean, the business that the French and the Germans did with Saddam was in part to buy weapons and to keep the oil money flowing, which provided the money to
right.
keep Saddam in power. So I believe, you know, that the French and the Germans and Russians acted very dishonorably. And there is a code of ethics that goes back, you know, 75 years that says that if you do business with what is called an odious regime, which clearly Saddam Hussein was an odious regime.
Capital O.
Then you lose, and that regime is extracted. You are not qualified to be repaid for
right.
the debts that you incurred with that odious regime.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. And watch that speech today, folks, if you get a chance. Stephen, the article you're working on that you mentioned earlier, where's that going to be published?
This will be published I have a Scripps Howard column that goes out to, you know, hundreds of papers around the country.
Right.
It's always in the Washington Times. And then I also publish these on the National Review online, which is a great site for small business advocacy.
Go ahead. That's nationalreview.com?
That's right.
Nationalreview.com. Okay, let's get back to the Democrat politics. Who's going to be the candidate, the Democrat candidate in 2004?
I think it's going to be Howard Dean, although, you know,
really? Geez,
things can really change. It's still, you know, 3 or 4 months away before even the first primary is held. But I think Dean is going to be very strong. I think that Clark could make some noise. And maybe Gephardt. I think those are probably the three front runners. And it's really kind of unfortunate as I watch that field, because the only one who's even semi-moderate would be Lieberman.
Mm-hmm.
And Lieberman just isn't getting off the ground.
He's not getting any traction at all, is he?
Not at all.
Do you see a Dean Clark ticket?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think that there's a lot of talk about that, and that's a real possibility. You know, Howard Dean would be sort of a dream come true for President Bush, because he's so left-wing. He's for the biggest tax increase in American history. He was totally against the war in Iraq. He's for gay marriages, on and on down the line.
Mm-hmm.
When he was governor of Vermont, he really treated small businesses as if they were ATM machines for the social welfare state. And I know a lot of your listeners know what that's about, where they
right.
have to pay for every new idea that the left comes up with. So I think he is so liberal that he would be like a George McGovern.
Stephen Moore, thank you for your time. Thank you for your advice and your wisdom today. It's good stuff, and we appreciate it very much.
I'll talk to you soon.
Stephen Moore, ladies and gentlemen, with Club for Growth. That's clubforgrowth.org. Check it out when you get a chance. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.